Few people would argue that the United States of America has undergone significant shifts in just about every area imaginable in the last 50 years. Even fewer would argue that the shifts in attitudes concerning a wide range of social issues have accelerated in the last 10 years. Because the latest cultural malaise has been focused on the U.S. government's advocacy and promotion of sexual deviancy, one area of grave concern has flown under the radar, so to speak. And that area is the U.S. military. As bad as the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell is, there's a much more pressing matter that Americans need to understand about our military. It seems that while American citizens were being distracted by a myriad of pleasures and pursuits, the U.S. military was being indoctrinated with New Age philosophy and, even worse, overrun by atheists and, dare I say, Satanists. Stay tuned for my conversation with author and attorney Constance Cumby next on this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of other things. Of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Welcome, friends. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And you can listen to every episode on our website, SoaringEagleRadio.com. My guest today is Constance Cumby. She's an attorney, the author of the first major critical book about the New Age movement entitled The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, The New Age Movement and Our Coming Age of Barbarism, and A Planned Deception, The Staging of a New Age Messiah. Her current project is a volume about Javier Solana, the Barcelona Process, Israel, and the European Union. And I'm looking forward to the release of that book. Constance, welcome to the Soaring Eagle Radio Show.
Well, thank you, Pastor Mike.
It's a pleasure to be able to chat with you. As I mentioned before we went on the air, I've used your research and writing for quite a while now and have shared it with friends and given links to your articles as places that they need to check for information. The reason why I reached out to you not long ago was an article that you posted. It caught my eye, and I thought, wow, this is something that we need to talk about because it's not really talked about. The mainstream media, for example, is not going to bring this up. But the article was entitled, Did Tea Party Darling Paul Vallelet Help Facilitate Military Satanism? That title jumped off the page for me because it answers a lot of questions that I've had about how the military chaplaincy has more or less imploded. And regardless of the military branch, the office of chaplain is under attack. And in my view, and especially after reading your series of articles, this seems to be a well-planned overthrow. What's your view, Constance?
Well, it was certainly a satanic attack coming from several fronts. I had a friend, you might know him too. His name was, I think, Colonel Lindsay, who was a chaplain in the military. And yes, he used to keep me apprised from time to time of things that were taking place and even encouraging things where the chaplains in the military were uniting to inform their people about the New Age movement. Then there was a former aide to President Reagan, who, a Jewish fellow whose children converted to Christianity to his distress, or one of his children. And so he had launched a virulent attack on Christian influence in the United States military and on the chaplains. And then in the 70s, I read to my utter distress that some chaplains in the United States military, including a Seventh-day Adventist chaplain, were being forced to lead Satanists in their rituals, and being forced to do that as part of their job in the military, and being basically in contempt of, we would call it in the legal profession, contempt of court, but and they would be in defiance of military orders and subject to court-martial if they did not. And then, of course, the work I did was part of something much broader. I was looking at the New Age movement, and I was apprised of developments in the military back in the, probably as early as 1982, and people involved in the military and officer positions apprised me of something taking place called the First Earth Battalion and Jim Channon, and that tied in with the New Age movement developments I had looked at.
Yes.
And they sent me a video, which I watched for many times, and they also obtained a copy of the manual that Jim Channon had made available. And then I found that was part of a larger operation called Task Force Delta. And in fact, the popular movie that came out a few years ago, The Men Who Stare at Goats, was based on the very same theme that was taking place in the military. That was bad enough. I wrote my second book, A Planned Deception, and it was released in 1986. And I also started a newsletter at the same time. Now blog spots on the internet have pretty much replaced the need for newsletters.
You're right.
It's a little easier to do the blog spot sometimes too. But at any rate, my second issue was going to be, and was, on New Age developments within the United States military. And just about the time I was working on that, I was contacted by informants with something that made me almost want to choke, basically I thought made Jim Channon and what he was doing, as bad as it was, look almost like a Sunday school picnic. And that was outright Satanism.
Yes.
And I was sent information, and I was contacted by somebody who had been in the cult and had left it, who had been horrified by it, hadn't necessarily become a Christian, but as a human being was just plain horrified at the things that she saw. And she got in touch with me and told me about the military developments, which I remembered the bulk of it. I remembered a keynote, and it was just some events that took place last year that brought the rest very suddenly to mind. And there was a Lieutenant Colonel Aquino, who was the founder of the Temple of Set, who had been a member of the board of directors of Anton Zander LaVey's Church of Satan, had an operation in the military. And that he had a patron who was backing him on inculcating these things. And the patron was, then it was Brigadier General Paul Vallely, which I remembered Aquino. I didn't think very much about Vallely until something happened last year that jarred and brought it to my attention very forcibly. And that was, I was contacted by an organization that was setting up in Michigan, had set itself up in Michigan with some considerable help from some of my dear personal friends, even clients as attorneys for years. And they, I was asked to be on the board of directors of something called Women Defending America. And I basically, this is how it came about. I think that the people, that the ladies, were quite innocent about what was happening, but they, the leader of the organization in Michigan had done considerable work on another facet of the New Age movement called Agenda 21.
Yeah.
Okay, and she was going to be speaking, and somebody suggested I come and hear the talk. And so I went there that night. The thing was packed, and when the woman who was speaking saw me there, she insisted I sit at her front table. The room was very, very packed. And then to my somewhat astonishment, she announced when she got up to speak that since I was there and since I was best, much better informed on the topic that she was, that I would be doing the speaking that night. Well, fortunately, I knew enough about the topic that I could discuss it without embarrassing myself. And I also realized that at that hour of the night, and given the length of the program, that brevity was always considered a distinct virtue.
Yeah.
And so you wouldn't make any enemies by talking too short.
Yeah.
And as she announced to the group, they're making me an honorary member of the group. And I had a pleasant evening talking with she and her husband afterwards. We got together and had a little bite in the attached restaurant when the meeting was over. And it was a very pleasant evening. And she called me a few days later and said that she had enjoyed the evening. I said, so had I. And she would like for me to be on the board of directors of her organization. And she invited me to a meeting. So I tried to get there. To tell the truth, I got lost. I forgot to take my cell phone with me and never found the location. And when I got home, I called her, and she laughed and said, don't worry about it. She got lost herself the first time she went. And just meet her at her jewelry store, which I did a couple of days later, and took her a copy of an important volume on the subject she was researching that I had a duplicate of in my library. And she said that three generals had proposed that they form this organization. And I just happened to ask her before we left, who were the three generals? And she said, McInerney, Vallely, and Boykin. I remembered hearing something about Boykin. I couldn't remember necessarily what.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting ready to do my own radio program, which I do on the TME radio networks every Saturday morning. I was preparing for that, and all at once, I thought, perhaps you had better check out those three generals.
Smart.
And Mac and Ernie stuck in my mind because my husband's last name is McIntosh. So it sounded similar enough. I remembered that, so I Googled Mac and Ernie, and up popped a picture of Paul Vallely. But yes, that's the next one she mentioned. So I clicked on that, and when I pulled up the links immediately, my mouth almost went on the floor. Mm-hmm. On the first page, there were heavy hits about his association, his reputation tainted by association with the Satanist. And then I did some Googling with just that, just he and Aquino, and there came up a page after page of it. And I made an improvident late-night phone call to her, for which I've never received an answer. And I said, look, I cannot have my name associated in any way with any form of Satanism. And I said, I don't think you should want yours associated that way either. And I didn't get a return call, but I followed up on it. And then I discovered, searching my own computer to my other amazement, that I had written about Vallely 29 years almost to the day earlier. Because this was the end, June 19, 2015, I had written about him and named him by name in 1986.
Yes.
And of course, then the talking back and forth with the women. And there was some naivety. The one who was a pastor's wife first thanked me for bringing it to their attention, then called back and wanted me to draft a bylaw for them saying that they were opposed to Satanism in all forms. Well, Pastor Mike, you can draft all the bylaws you want for folks who have that underlying agenda, for folks who are pulling the strings of that group.
Yes.
And if there's an agenda, they're going to get through to it. I think that what they were doing, they were pulling the women into something. And when I started researching Vallely, I was pretty astounded. It looked like it came almost out of Rules for Radicals by Saul.
Mm. Yeah.
And basically put the gals in a spot where they could basically there's a game that sometimes is played by Satanists and others, and I call the game Watch the Fundamentalists Run.
Yes.
And they'll plant something out there and kind of divert it with us and get us running with it and then make us look ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I'm very well aware of that being that tactic and very wary of it. And so I tried to get through. Some of the other board members resigned and would not go back on the board. And how they feel about me now, I don't know, but I felt that people needed to be warned. And I wrote two articles for News with it, which very unusually had a disclaimer, which none of my work had before from them. And then, but the third time I found, of course, the gals locally said, hey, that was 29 years ago. That was a long time ago. Maybe the Satanist was lying about it, dot, 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 dot. And the general told the gals that, first of all, he told them to my astonishment that he had been well aware of my little bitty newsletter, the article when it first came out. That he was quite well aware of that one. And secondly, that he was the person who had exposed Aquino to the military. And that the story just didn't wash. It was not consistent with known information. And then one day I just decided to do a little bit more checking on it, which is what led to finally posting part three of the long-delayed article series. And I decided to just invest in ordering the full copy of Mind War, not the book that he and the part that they put together about how to basically thought control in the military, how to basically condition the civilian population to accept what's done to them. And I decided to just order the book for myself and look through it, which I did. And I've got it sitting here on my desk. And that's, you just grab it here. And I think with News with Views, I put in up, if you looked at the article, you
yes.
probably could click on it and look at the pages. And there, the 2013 edition of the book, 204-page book, how many pages were in it, there was a big, fat dedication to Paul Valéry and some pages about how grateful Mr. Aquino was to Valéry. And so, and Valéry had only kind words to say about Michael Aquino. So something was going on, something's been going on, but Aquino's book had basically almost a wealth of information between the books that he had up on the internet for, in fact, even downloadable for free reading about what was taking place in the New Age military. And the other New Age document things that I had found over the years, he was boasting about those things also as being part of the picture, which they very clearly are. And I've described the New Agers, the Theosophists and the Lucis Trust people as Satanists with Tea Party manners.
Mm.
Now, but they're, what's happening now that is differing from as bad as it was what I found then. There was a Russian Orthodox priest. He's long since dead. I wish I could have talked to him. He died in San Francisco in 1982, Seraphim Rose. And he wrote a book that somebody mailed to me called Orthodoxy and the Religion of the Future. And one line in that book struck me. He said, Satan is now entering naked into human history. Well, the last few years, an awful lot of attention is being given, favorable attention, in New Age bookstalls and dealers to what they call the left-hand path. And glorifying the left-hand path, which you're now seeing more and more of. Just recently in the last 2 weeks, there we were treated to a barrage on television, on the internet. An ABC News at least had big coverage of it. And the Microsoft networks on the internet of the Satanists now demanding after-school classes in Satanism for the children.
Yes.
They're coming at it from many, many levels, and it reminds me so much of the biblical prophecy that the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with her seed who keep the faith of Jesus and the commandments of God. And I think that the thing is heating up, that there is less bashfulness in there, and they're not as worried about the Tea Party manners anymore.
Yes.
And the party, frankly, is getting rough.
Yeah. Wow, that is a wonderful synopsis. That raises a lot of questions, and I'm going to be the advocate for our listeners. First of all, you mentioned Michael Aquino several times. He was commissioned, if I have this date right, correct me if I'm wrong, Constance, but I think he was commissioned into the Army in 1968, if I read that right. And he actually worked with Paul Vallelet in military psychological operations. Is that correct?
Yes, and that's another thing that made it so astounding, and Vallelet's misstatements on it so astounding, because Vallelet claimed to the gals here that he was the person who had outed Michael Aquino and had cross-examined him about it. And Michael Aquino makes it very clear in all of his books that everybody in the military knew very well about his Satanism from the day that he entered the military in 1968. The books with General Vallelet were done 12 years later in 1980.
Yeah. And so that makes it, well, frankly, hard to believe that Paul Vallelet had no idea about Michael Aquino, because he didn't hide it. He was very open about his.
About it was an officer of Anton the Cezander LaVey's Church of Satan, and then he founded his even more radical group. Basically, he founded the Temple of Set because he didn't think that LaVey was satanic enough. He wanted Satan recognized as a real power. And he thought maybe LaVey was just a little bit theatrical about it, maybe play acting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Constance, do you think, is it possible that Paul Vallelet is what strategists, military strategists, intelligence organizations refer to as controlled opposition? And the reason that I ask that question is because Paul Vallelet is a very respected figure among Tea Party organizations, constitutionalists. I mean, he even has an organization he heads up.
Yeah, I've been trying to. I think I've dented him a little bit on some of that recently.
Yeah.
I hope so. But he certainly, nobody was looking at him as closely as they should have been looking at him.
Yes, yeah. I gathered that. That was loud and clear from...
Controlled opposition, I don't know, but I will tell you this. Arthur Eggendorf wrote a book and on military developments on this very same thing, because the whole thing on the whole New Age movement, despite all the false claims to Christians that they're decentralized, that they're very disunified, which is absolutely not true. But... Eggendorf wrote a book. It was called Healing from the War. And it's part of my library, too. I've got it sitting here with the sticky notes. Just a second here. Okay, and Trauma and Transformation After Vietnam. In fact, Aquino was a Vietnam veteran. And Eggendorf wrote in that book that 80 of their very finest generals had been trained in the best consciousness-raising techniques of the New Age. Now, Aquino, in his book Mind Wars and his other books, rightly boasts that these are part of the same developments.
Wow.
They're, it's coming at from several levels. And my experience with these folks is they usually tend not to show all of their cards.
Yes.
And they usually tend not to overly brag. If they tell you they've got something, you probably can bet that they've got it and more that they're not showing you.
Yes, that's right. Do you recall, Constance, when were these 80 generals trained in New Age consciousness went about?
Let me look through the book here.
So I'm wondering, 80s, 90s, is that recent?
The book I think was written in 1985.
Okay.
So we're talking about a long time ago.
Yes.
It's on page 269 and port 270. Okay, here we go. Yeah, this is Transforming Warriors. Okay, so the Frenchman Robert Mueller was a World War II resistance fighter for the Nazi underground who later became a protege of Uthant. Now, Mueller was the person who really pioneered what we call global core curriculum. He headed 37 agencies at the United Nations. He was an active member of Lucis Trust. In fact, one of his former employees calls me fairly regularly, one who jumped ship. Okay. And then another one that was cited in this book, Chankyam Trungpa, Tibetan meditation. When these were all facets of things, and what people forget was that Western mysticism plays just as big a part of this thing as Eastern mysticism. Basically, the trick is get you in an altered state of consciousness because nobody in their right mind would accept this stuff. So the trick is to get you somehow out of your mind. I'm convinced that we're looking at a movement of mass possession, various degrees of possession, and these are all techniques for getting you there. Another one that's mentioned in this book was Marilyn Ferguson, who wrote The Aquarian Conspiracy. That was a lead book that I read and used. And then Jim Channon, the First Earth Battalion, that was the one that military people first put me on and said I had to pay some attention to that and sent me a video back in 1983. In fact, I purchased my first video player so I could watch it. Okay, and then it said in an interview for this book, this is Channon in 1985, this is 3 years or 2 years after Hidden Dangers is released. Channon said the military in this country could go either way, said there's the old guard still and they're strong, and if they prevail, they could lead us to arm outer space, but there are enough dedicated soldiers who have committed themselves to higher principles that we could see the American army pioneer the idea of global service. He said 80 of our best generals have already been trained in the most advanced consciousness principles of the new age. So the Army had a special task force Delta that for 3 years spent $4.5 million on 80 projects to experiment with human potential on the battlefield and off. Said, you name it, they did it. Body-mind coordination, attention to diet, self-regulating and meditative techniques taught in the best workshops from Esalen to the East Coast Growth Centers. Said lots of these changes grew out of a confrontation in 1974. When the junior officers at the Army's command and general staff school laid out our failures in Vietnam at the fate of 20 generals and asked what they were going to do about the way they were running things. And there's much more. The book's a goldmine of things that were taking place in the military. So they've been at it for a long time. They've been working patiently. They haven't had a lot of publicity, not as much publicity as they deserved. And of course, now that they what they're doing with the Tea Party people and other things, there's a verse in the Bible when people say this is all very confusing. And I said, that the verse in my Bible says God is not the author of confusion.
Amen. That's right. That's right. Well, you've got a part four to this, and that's going to be coming out soon.
Yes.
And I think you're going to touch on chaos theory, I believe, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
In fact, chaos theory is a very, very, very big thing in the New Age movement. And that's one of the things that they have been preparing for years. That's why one of the big emphases on survivalism and voluntary simplicity in their ranks, because they were convinced that this conflict is coming, this big conflict. Their own apocalyptic vision, which they like to sneer at us as apocalyptic, but their own apocalyptic version of what's going to take place. They're convinced there's going to be a big time of chaos, and they're going to pit all the monotheistic groups against each other. There's going to be this gigantic conflagration. We all fight ourselves to each other to the death, and then after they've infiltrated as many of us as they can, compromise us as many directions as they can, and then they will be the phoenix to arise from our ashes to build their new society.
Wow. I can see that in play, actually, to
yes.
me, Constance.
Oh, yeah. They haven't even tried to hide it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. One of the things that I am fond of saying, because it makes a point that encourages people to think about what they're seeing, is this: when evil becomes strong enough, it always becomes arrogant, and then it doesn't care if you see what they're doing or not. And that's what I'm seeing today. The evil has a sense of arrogance about it. And so they're not even trying to hide some of the things that they used to hide.
It's interesting because that was one of their weak spots. They were so convinced when I stumbled onto the thing in the first place, and I was just almost overwhelmed by the size and the ramifications of it. I had a political background and recognized political movements when I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw this strange blend of a different, very different type of spirituality, blended with what I call the Satanists, sometimes with Tea Party manners, sometimes not, and started looking at that. But they believed that they were safe from detection because nobody but one of their initiates could see it, would understand it. So they could publish it anywhere they wanted for anybody they wanted. In fact, it was imperative they thought that they did. Alice Bailey wrote about this in The Rays and the Initiations. Donald Keyes, who did a lot of the work with the Club of Rome, with the Planetary Citizens, Planetary Initiative for the World We Choose, and many other. In fact, he was president of World Federalists for a while. Close associate of Norman Cousins, the very famous literary writer. And he wrote in his book, Earth at Omega, Passage to Planetization, that so far the New Age movement had avoided a backlash. He said, but if it did become a target of alarm forces and defenders of the status quo, it would offer a widely diffused and decentralized target, very hard to identify and impossible to dissuade. And what these folks forgot, I think, is that God dispenses wisdom.
Amen.
And God wants somebody to see through this stuff and sound fair warnings for what it is. It's going to take place, and all the powers of hell won't be able to stop it.
That's right.
There was that delusion, and that was their strong part. That was their weakness. But that also, many New Agers, once they found out what the New Age movement was about, did come out and became some of the strongest advocates against it. In fact, the very publisher of the book I quoted from, Earth at Omega, Passage to Planetization, wrote me a lovely letter in 1985. And told me all the things that he had been into and that he had renounced it and came out, and he went and told Norman Cousins and Donald Keyes, you're going to have to find a new publisher. I won't publish this anymore.
And wow.
The next edition looked a lot schlockier, not nearly as professional as what he had published.
Yes.
And came out, and, you know, I followed up on him a few times. I don't believe in exposing people's privacy unnecessarily, but he came out and he stayed out.
Mm-hmm.
And this year I was kind of amused. I was sent a review copy of one of the prominent New Age books by one of the prominent New Age authors, New Age Politics Updated for the 21st Century by Mark Satin. And I sent an email. I invited him to come on my radio program and talk about it, to discuss it, which he refused to do. But he said that that person who wrote that book, who published that book, had been a big disappointment to them. Yes, you bet he was. it's just, but I've seen that people have come out. I've got the fellow who wrote one of their biggest books on crystals came out of it, left the New Age movement. Many people left the New Age movement. They fled as though they were fleeing the devil himself, and that's what they were fleeing. And many of them came out and stayed out. I know of one, to my dismay, I call him a revert, who went back in. I don't know what went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I suspect sometimes it might be that Christians were being somewhat unkind to him. But on the other hand, there's something else that takes place where Christians are naive. And usually if you get the New Agers together in the room talking with Christians, and there'll be what I call a lot of reverse testimonies. Almost always these New Agers will give reverse testimonies and tell about how one day they discovered how hypocritical the whole Christian world was, and so they left it. And then suddenly they found all this kindness on the other side. Well, a lot of that is just, again, it goes with their possession, goes with the territory.
Yeah.
And it's almost a canned speech that so many of them made. I did a debate in Seattle area years ago against two prominent New Agers, one who was one of the prime inventors on the IBM PC, and he gave his reverse testimony up there. And I called him on it, that it was a reverse testimony. And it was an interesting evening. In fact, we're walking out, we were kind of amused. They heard somebody was saying, well, talk about vibrations. They wanted to bottle mine. But, God is with us, and there's some verses in scripture that, one of them being, it's in Jeremiah, you probably know the quote better than I do off the top of my head, but it said, do not say to those who say a confederacy or a conspiracy, a confederacy said, neither fear ye their dread, or dread you their dread. He said, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself and let him be your fear.
Amen.
And let him be your dread. And he will be to you a sanctuary, but to them a stumbling block, but to you a sanctuary. And I tell people, I said, it's lots better to have God as your sanctuary than as your stumbling block.
That's for sure, Constance.
There is time and it's a serious thing because the day is coming. It was also prophesied that the day would come when the Spirit of God would stop striving with men, the Holy Spirit, and that God was going to say, okay, let he who's righteous be righteous still, let he who's filthy be filthy still. And I tell people, you don't want to be on the wrong side of that digital divide.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Is it, Constance, is it a fair statement, a fair assessment to say that the latest net that the New Agers are using and they've gotten behind and really energized through the United Nations is the whole idea of climate change, Agenda 21, sustainable development, Agenda 2030. I mean, is that a fair assessment?
That has been their plan for a long time. When I started following them, if we didn't do exactly what they said, we were going to have a new ice age.
Oh, yes, yes.
Then in fact, Paul Ehrlich, who was one of the big population control guys and theoreticians for New Age circles on those issues, was publishing that we would have a new ice age. Then a few mild winters, and it was going to be global warming. And then after up and down, then it's going to be climate change. Well, you're going to have weather whether you like it or not. But Barbara Marx Hubbard boasted to an audience in Seattle in 1988, and she boasted that now they had their issue. Their issue was the environmental issue. She also boasted that Russia would be leading the world into the new age, and that they had, from the top to the bottom, they had made their quantum leap. And she also made another boast that was ominous, and she said, now all of the resonating core groups with outwardly different purposes are merging and blending and coming together to do the one work. And the climate is their big issue. It's been their big issue. It's one that they want to force things with, force changes with. And they've been pushing it. In fact, I just read in a really amusing book on the climate change issues, if somebody wanted something to read just for fun, the Little Green Book of Ecofascism. Sitting
great,
here on my desk.
Title.
It's priceless reading. I think it's by a British author, but it's just priceless. But yes, that is one of their issues. Something else that she said that was worrying to me, she said, now all of the resonating core groups with outwardly different purposes are merging and blending. Well, something horrifying that I learned, and it might be almost more than your people can take, was I learned that there was heavy, heavy, heavy networking, and that one of the reasons I had received as much opposition as I had in Christian circles was that there was heavy networking with the Institute of Noetic Sciences, which is one of your most almost all powerful New Age groups. It was a who's who of New Age leadership in it. And the person who founded that group, Paul Ann Temple, along with astronaut Edgar Mitchell, Mitchell usually is on there, but Paul Ann Temple was giving very, very heavily to what's supposed to be a Christian operation and basically had bought off both sides. And so there are many, many fronts that they're working on. And Christians have been compromised by associations with Unification Church.
Yes.
And taking money there. Christians have been compromised by associations with the Institute of Noetic Sciences and taking money there. And I think what we need to remember is God does not need 25 cents worth of the devil's money, Reverend Moon's money, or anybody else's money to build his kingdom.
Amen. That's exactly right. So all of this that we've been talking about really is a just different pieces, parts of the puzzle that that Lucifer is motivating to a one-world religion, and that's being built today right before our eyes.
There are three major goals on this thing, a new world order, and they're achieving that in no small part right now. The second one is a new world religion that, strange as it sounds, writes Jesus Christ ultimately out of the picture or relegates him to a lesser role. And the third major goal is a new age Messiah they cheerfully admit is not Jesus for the most part. And they basically the method they use to get you there is mysticism.
Yes.
Anything that gets you out of your head will work.
Yes. That's absolutely right. I agree with that 100%. That's the direction that it's really going. In mysticism, they'll talk about something. I think the phrase is Christ consciousness.
Oh yes. Yeah, I'm Christ. You're Christ. We're all Christ. Everybody's Christ.
Yes. Yes. Right. Yep, that's exactly right. That's the direction that they take. Well, Constance, you're going to be releasing a book soon. You said you're working on it now. That's what I got from your website. Would you like to talk about that a little bit?
Well, I think I've been kind of had that a little bit backburnered while I was clarifying his genealogy. This is interesting because I stumbled onto Javier Solana, and he's emerging now as a major figure again on the call for the European Army. It was November 22, 1995, and I woke one night. I was in court the next morning, and I couldn't sleep, and my usual remedy is go sit in a chair and read something very boring until my eyes get heavy. And I read something as boring as I could, and I got wider awake than ever, and I thought, well, if I can't sleep, go check my email. And I went downstairs and checked the email and the old slow AOL dial-up connection. And up popped a story about a major earthquake in Israel, 7.2, epicentered at Eilat. And that's the only earthquake I've ever heard of that's been subject to attempted historical revision downward. Hmm. I had an email from the head of their institute, Geological Institute, admitting that they had historically revised it, tried to revise it downward. But anyway, I clicked on that for more information. And up popped a story about the earthquake had come in the wake of an expected political earthquake in the form of the Barcelona conference due to convene in Barcelona, Spain. It would be European countries and the Mediterranean, Mediterranean Arabic countries. And it would be a 10-nation military federation, the Western European Union. And that Javier Solana would be exclusively in charge. And I thought, who is this guy?
Yeah.
And so anyway, I just did a search with the databases I had collected. The New Agers said they were going to get all their books on a few CD-ROMs, and that way they would be able to find things without having to read every word. And I remember telling my husband, that's one of their better ideas. I'll get the first collection. That way I can keep up with them and clean house at the same time. And I had a big collection of data of newspaper articles on a CD, business articles. And so I stuck it in and put in Javier Solana and found out he'd sent Spanish warships against Canada in what had almost been a shooting war at high sea only 6 months earlier. And I was kind of shocked at that one.
Yeah.
So I started watching it, and he achieved his treaty, and he was given sole credit for the diplomatic accomplishment. There was a big picture up in the European News, Solana Squares NATO Circle. And then suddenly the very next day after this is over, I read that he's been unanimously picked to be the new head of NATO. Now, I was dumbfounded, but even more because of what happened with Canada. I knew Canada had to have had some strong feelings about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I followed it, and the Spanish press was more dumbfounded than I was. They said if anybody had predicted it even 5 years earlier, they would have been locked up as a total lunatic, that Javier Solana had been the leader of the Spanish opposition to NATO. Said he was best known for haranguing crowds saying, "We are radically opposed to Spain's entry into NATO." Well, I sent an email to the White House, and I said, please do not pick this fellow as the new head of NATO. I cited the fact he'd been on the United States subversive list for many years, and his stance on NATO. And I received back about a month later, I came home and my husband said, you have a letter from the White House. Indeed, I did. It was from President Clinton thanking me for expressing my opinion. Now, something weird happened to us not too long after that, and I can't say if it was connected or not, but it was very strange. About a month later, there's a tremendous clatter out in our backyard, and we live in a suburban area in the metropolitan Detroit area in Michigan. And suddenly, there's just a tremendous clatter. And I looked outside. We had a man doing yard work in front. And I looked out the back, and there hovering right over our satellite dish, which wasn't that far from the ground, a foot from our satellite dish, was a little white helicopter. Not a black one, but a little white one.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't know what to make of it. I thought, well, if they're checking me out, they probably thought nothing to worry about, nothing to worry about. But I don't know if it had anything to do with it or not, but the timing sure was strange.
Very.
And so I just kept following it and reporting on it. In 1996, Boris Yeltsin told the Russian people, you'd better vote for me. I'm the only one who can stand up to Javier Solana. He didn't. They signed the Treaty of Association with Russia and NATO in 1997. In 1999, I awoke one Sunday morning with one of the worst migraines of my life. I was going to get ready for church, but it was clear I was going nowhere with that headache. I took three Vanquish, my remedy for a headache of that severity, stumbled back to bed, and my husband turned on the Sunday morning news program, Sunday morning on CBS, and while I'm laying there nursing the headache, they come out and say, "We interrupt this program to bring you a very important announcement. Javier Solana, the Secretary General of NATO, has announced that the bombing of Yugoslavia may start as soon as the next few hours." Oh, and the Yugoslavian crowds were out demonstrating on the bridge, protesting. And that when the headache lifted enough, I didn't go to church. I went down to the basement computers. I logged onto the search engine. It was kind of pre-Google. And I logged onto the search engines. And up came, I found immediately, a speech by Javier Solana that he gave in New York, or in the United States, just real soon before that. And he said that he had been given exclusive power to make the military decisions over Yugoslavia, including whether to bomb or not. Now, that's very unusual for NATO. Usually their power is ministerial.
Yes.
They take the directions from the countries and then pass it on to the generals. He said he'd been given sole power. He said he did not intend to use that power without checking in with the others, but then he added, he said, "Nevertheless, the power is mine and mine alone."
Wow.
I didn't take his word for it. I went to Madeleine Albright's State Department page. I logged, pulled up her pages, and she said in there, "Solana has the power and has had it since January 31st. We are speaking with one voice through Javier Solana." And that night, that was one of those headaches that persisted all day, so I didn't get to church Sunday night either. And I'm sitting there, and we have CNN on, and President Clinton came out to explain to the nation what was taking place. And he was talking about the forthcoming bombing that would take place in Yugoslavia, Kosovo area. And he never said, this is what I think we should do, or this is what we think we should do, or even this is what the heads of the world community think would be wise. Instead, he said, "I agree with Javier Solana's decision to do this." And amazingly, nobody ever said, "Who's Javier Solana?" It was like over everybody's head.
Wow.
And the bombing started. It was pretty ruthless. I heard on the radio that the Pope had sent emissaries combined with one of the Eastern Orthodox patriarchs that jointly had sent emissaries in saying, "Please let us have at least a truce between the two Easters where we can try to mediate something." And on Good Friday, in 1999, a little headline in our Detroit News said Pope rebuffed. And then there was a picture of the Pope and the Eastern Orthodox Patriarch sitting there looking like two very defeated old men that I found on the internet. That bombing continued. It was ruthless. Yes. There was a lot of, quote, collateral damage, unquote. And many churches were destroyed in Yugoslavia, in Kosovo. Kosovo was to the Serbian community as Jerusalem was to the Jews. Mm. It was their worship center. And they get very important to them symbolically for their religion. And that was like taking away the center of their, of the Serbian Orthodox Church. Well, in, Javier Solana left that job with NATO a little bit before the term expired. It was a 4-year term. And he went to take a new job that had been created for him for the European Union as the High Representative of the Common Foreign and Security Policy, but said also he would be acting as the Secretary General of the European Union.
Hmm.
And I did not know it. It was sometime before I found it, but the very bill that created that job that was created by the European Union in Council in 1998 was section 666 of the Europa Code.
No kidding.
I have copies of it. Then it was announced that the 10 nation Western European Union, that they were going to be dissolving, but for their last year of operation, Javier Solana would also be in charge of them. That would be like a dual presidency. Well, that year lasted a long time. It's generally a 6-month rotating presidency on the European Union, but he was acting as Secretary General of the European Union and Secretary General of the Western European Union, and they kept it together through 2010. It was that year lasted at least 11 years.
Wow.
And I started thinking, am I crazy? Am I seeing things nobody else is seeing?
Mm-hmm.
And I did a search on the internet. I just put in Javier Solana and I don't remember what other search term I used, and I came up with a column by a fellow from California called Herb Peters and said it is wise not to ignore biblical prophecy. And I got on the phone and called Herb, and then we started sharing intelligence, and Herb called to my attention in the year 2000 that there had been a resolution introduced into the Western European Union Assembly, and I have this too, and I have it all saved and preserved. And it was recommendation 666, and that recommendation called for Javier Solana, the Secretary General of the Western European Union, to be given the powers to convene in the event of an emergency, to convene the Council of the European Union and declare an emergency powers over Europe. Good way to take over the country.
No kidding.
And so then people sent me information on Javier Solana's parentage, his and right from the start, the account said that he was the grandson of a famous Spanish writer, Salvador de Madariaga. Well, Madariaga, and he headed Madariaga's Institute. And then after I started writing on it, then very suddenly, Grandpa became an uncle. And the reason he was an uncle was that their grandfathers had been cousins. Well, that would make him a very distant cousin indeed, not an uncle, if that were the case. But there was a reason why Madariaga was a very famous theosophist. His wife was, they were into Krishnamurti, who was supposed to be the New Ager's new Messiah, back in the late 1920s. They were pushing that. The agenda was there. And interestingly enough, when people started digging on Solana, and for some reason I was paid a lot of attention to on the internet on that. And I don't know if it's because I outed the New Age movement, but for whatever reason, they took it very seriously. And when I did a search on Solana, suddenly you'd start coming up with, are you looking for are you looking for Constance Cumby? And I was the only name associated with him. He was the only name associated with me on several of the major databases.
Oh, my.
And that, but anyway, I just kept up with it. And he's on the march again. He's still there. I have no idea. Your guess as to the Antichrist identity is just as good as mine. But some of those things made me think there could be an educated guess there.
Mm.
And he's making a lot of decisions again. The New Agers were very certain in 1982 they were ready to take over. They ran those ads, no small expense. They called themselves unabashedly a network and service to the Christ. They made no attempt to hide what they were doing whatsoever. When Benjamin Krem spoke in Detroit, it was packed. Every New Age bunch in Detroit and some of the others that weren't were there out in force, treating it like it was gospel. And they expected they were going to move forward. It's not going to happen until God is ready. And I'm sure if Jesus didn't know the day nor the hour, neither does Lucifer for sure.
That's right.
But I think that if God is ready, we had better be. There's probably been false attempts before. There might be again, but certainly I think this was an attempt. And if he is, you know, there's just so much that was going on. You just couldn't ignore it. The symbolism was all there. Even if they attached 666 to everything he did, he made no bones about the fact that religion was the problem that had to be solved. He fretted about the United States being under religious influences, and there was a lot of things taking place that were potentially prophetically symbolic. Now, whether it was the time or it's going to be another time, but I suspect that if God is ready, we'd better be, and we were always to be prepared and watching anyway.
Yes.
So I'm still, he's still busy. He's still active. If they were quite confident that they had somebody all ready to go. They made no bones about it. They've talked about it. Many of them have written about it. They've never ceased writing about it. And if they had somebody to go in 1982, he's like 33 years older now, 34 years older, and probably not very happy about having his career interrupted. My friend John Leffler, I don't know if you've ever talked to him or not, but he said he had a greeting for the Antichrist. Enjoy your reign, all 3.5 years of it.
That's right.
So I don't know, but I think it just basically, we are not to fear him who could kill body, and there after that do no more to us that fear him who could take both and then cast both into hell. And so basically our fear is to be in God, our trust is to be in God, and God's to be our sanctuary, not our stumbling block. And that's basically where I am at this point.
Yes. Amen, Constance. I really appreciate the point that you stressed, that we need to be people of the Word. We need to be aware of what the Scriptures say, especially prophetically. We need to understand the days and the times that we live in. And the reason that I bring that up, Constance, is because I continue to see pastor after pastor, some of them well known. I won't mention their names,
right.
Very well known. That are telling people, anyone that will listen, certainly their congregations, but all throughout the media, to stop reading, teaching, studying prophecy. That it does no good, and we need to just focus on today and the problems that we face, and let's get these resolved. And of course, in their other hand, they're always talking about unity at any cost. They're ready to unite to solve the world's problems while downplaying the Word of God. So,
exactly.
I appreciate you making that point.
Well, the apostasy, the end would not come until the apostasy came first, and then we've seen more than a fair amount of apostasy. Now, how much worse it can get, I don't know, but this month I was very, very, very disturbed to see that Christianity Today had an article about coming out at Wheaton College. So I said, well,
yeah.
So when you think it can't get any worse, it gets worse.
Yes. Yeah. That's very true. And I certainly, folks that know me personally as a pastor and the particular flavor of the church that I represent, know that there is some concern about things that are transpiring. And we certainly need to be watchmen today. We need to be very vigilant and pointing things out. And listen, for our listeners, all of this is not to cause you to fear or to be of a mindset that there's nothing that can be done. The work that Constance has done throughout the years has really been yeoman's work of a watchman, and warning and equipping and encouraging people to understand the times that they live in. So I appreciate very much, Constance, your consistency over the years.
Thank you, Pastor Mike, and thank you for your work.
And where can our listeners find your books and your work, your blog?
Well, a good way to get in touch with me. My original edition of my book is that Amazon is after me to update it, and I'm working on that. But and meanwhile, you can pull the original version down for free, which is that it's just more current now than the day I wrote it, I think. And
yes.
Put down both of my books. You can go over to internetarchives.org and pull them down for absolutely free. Take advantage of it. You can pull it down. I don't care if you burn copies for it. You can give it to people. The only thing you can't do is sell it for profit or edit it. And those are available. I maintain a blog spot, my perspective, cumby.blogspot.com, and I have an internet radio program of my own every Saturday morning on TME Radio Networks.
Excellent. Well, Constance, I appreciate you being on the show with me and sharing with our listeners your wealth of information on what's going on in our world today. And I'd like to do it again sometime.
Anytime.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
God bless you, Constance.
God bless you. Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and of course follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. You can visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, pastormike@woh.rr.com. God bless you today as you seek Him.